Now, 3 days until the Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin summit in Alaska. At the moment, it's a bilateral meeting between the two leaders. Whether or not the Ukrainian president makes the trip, the door for Europe has firmly remained shut. But 26 European heads of state and government, including the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, have issued a statement this morning outlining their continued support for Ukraine. Let's speak now with Ukraine Bureau Chief at the Washington Post, Siobhan O'Grady. Good morning, Siobhan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
That statement from European heads of state and government said that Ukrainians must have the freedom to decide their future and that a diplomatic solution must protect Ukrainian and European interests. Is this their attempt to try and shape talks between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin that could determine the continent's long-term security?
Absolutely. I think there are huge anxieties in Kyiv and across Europe this week that a deal will be struck or some sort of arrangement made between Trump and Putin in Alaska that does not line up whatsoever with Ukrainian or European security goals, and that, in fact, all of Europe is being sidelined in these talks by not being included. I know that we're fastly approaching Friday, and it's a very long trip from Ukraine where all airports have been closed since 2022. For Zelensky to travel all the way to Alaska. So we would need to know soon if he is in fact invited, and I do not anticipate Putin accepting that kind of arrangement. For Putin, this is a major win. He is being invited to the United States for the first time since 2015. He's showing up knowing that he will not be subjected to an arrest warrant from the International Criminal Court because the United States does not belong to it anymore. And so there are just huge concerns that this will just amplify his image and earn him more support in some ways for his war aims at home and not actually do anything to end the war in Ukraine.
It seems that he has the upper hand here. And do we know anything more about Donald Trump's strategy going into that meeting with Vladimir Putin?
It's obviously very hard to anticipate his strategy because President Trump is so unpredictable. And we have seen, obviously, in the past few weeks, a real change of course in his rhetoric about Ukraine. It's been a very difficult year for President Zelensky's relationship with President Trump. And we know that they had that very contentious meeting earlier this year in the Oval Office. And since then, Ukraine has been very careful about how it is managing that relationship. But we felt like we saw a very significant shift. We saw that Trump was threatened new sanctions against Russia, that he was taking a harder line, at least in his rhetoric against Russia. But now we see that he's welcoming Putin to the United States, even though Putin didn't agree to a ceasefire. And for the Ukrainians and the Europeans, this just seems like a very obvious first step. Agree to at least a 30-day ceasefire. Ukraine has been saying for many months that they would halt fire immediately if this was agreed, but Russia has simply not agreed to do so. So right now we see that Russia is trying to solidify its gains on the battlefield. They've even made gains in the past 24 hours in the east. There's absolutely no sign of the war slowing down.
And Donald Trump said that the Ukrainian president will be the first person he calls after the meeting, but he may not like what he hears. Vladimir Zelensky said he won't agree to giving up any land or even freezing the conflict along the current front lines. Do you think, though, there is a realization in Ukraine that territory may have to be conceded? We saw in April the mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, saying that Ukraine may have to give up land as part of a peace deal with Russia.
Yes, I think there's definitely a growing understanding that this war likely will not be won militarily. Of course, there's a major frustration knowing that if NATO backed Ukraine fully, then Ukraine would defeat Russia, but that's not the circumstance. And so Ukraine has managed to hold them off for this long, but is slowly losing ground across much of the east. And the longer that they wait to make a deal, people do worry that the more land will end up being given up. But at the same time, I think it's very easy for people to say that they want an end to the war. But when you're actually talking to individuals who realize that such a deal would mean that they can't go home to their village, their house, the cemetery where their parents and grandparents are buried, then that starts to feel very different. So although there is a growing sense in Ukraine among regular people that the war will be needs to end via some sort of territorial deal, nobody wants to see their own land be given up. So it's very painful, very difficult. And I think this is one of the toughest moments in Zelensky's presidency, definitely, that he's facing pressure from the United States, which really is the only country that seems to have the capacity to end the war. And that, as you said, Trump told him that he might not like what he hears.
a lot on the line over the next couple of days. Ukraine Bureau Chief at the Washington Post, Siobhan O'Grady, thank you for joining us. It is 7:46.